We want to talk this morning about being submissive like Sarah. And Sarah is an interesting character for us to look at in the Scriptures. I don't know about you, but I have two categories of favorite characters in the Bible. There are two different categories. I put some people, like we've studied about we've studied about Caleb, we studied about Daniel. These are guys that the Bible doesn't ever say they did anything wrong. I know we know they did. We know nobody's perfect. We know they committed sin at some point in their life. But the Bible only points out the good things about them. People like Paul that are just, you know, they're out there doing everything, everywhere. And I think, wow, I could never be like those guys, but boy, aren't they inspiring. Don't I wish I could be like those people? And it makes me want to try harder to try to be like them, but I think, oh. And if that was the only kind of character that we had in the Bible, I think a lot of us would probably get frustrated and give up and think, I can't measure up. I can't be like all of those guys, and I just might as well forget about it. But then there's a second category of folks that the Bible describes. There are people like Peter, who was constantly putting his foot in his mouth and who had to be corrected by Paul, because even though he was an apostle, he still wasn't living right. And then there are people like Sarah as well. She's in that category with Peter, who the Bible talks highly of her. She was the mother of the nation that Abraham was the father of. If he was the father of the faithful, she was the mother of the faithful. And yet we read about some things that Abraham and Sarah did that they made some mistakes. They were regular folks like us. And yet God still loved them, and they could still be examples of how to be faithful to God even when you weren't perfect. And so those are a blessing as well. And so we want to look at Sarah, and we want to talk about submissiveness with Sarah. As we want to think about this, it's actually interesting. She is only mentioned a few times outside of the book of Genesis. Of course, she's mentioned several times in Genesis, her and Abraham. But there are only a few times that she's mentioned outside of Genesis, and one of those in the New Testament is in Peter, where she is pointed to as an example of being submissive, of submission and subjection to the authority that was over her. And all of us, whoever we are, have to be in subjection to the authority that's over us. We want to think about this as we consider Sarah a little bit. Now, Sarah in Genesis 23 and verse 1, we find out she lived 127 years. At some point, after she was 65, sometime between 65 and 90, Abraham was afraid that she was so beautiful that the men of the place where they were going would kill him to take her for a wife. Now, I know a lot of you ladies are beautiful ladies. But I dare say that between the ages of 65 and 90, not many of us would think, you know, I'm so beautiful, somebody might kill my husband so they could have me. You know, most of the time by then, we're pretty well settled into where we are with each other as married couples. But Abraham was concerned about that. That tells us something about Sarah. It's the reason I chose this picture. Because we see an old Abraham there, and we see a glowing Sarah that she looks awful young and pretty. Now really, Sarah was only 10 years younger than Abraham. But she apparently was a strikingly beautiful woman. Or at least Abraham thought so. Now that's a message to you husbands out there. If you don't think your wife's the most beautiful woman in the world, you need to change your perception. Maybe you need to be thinking, well, I better be careful. Somebody might kill me to try to take my wife away from me. She's so beautiful. But sometimes us husbands don't think like that about our wives. So it's a very flattering thing that Abraham thought that way about Sarah. I don't know if everybody else that saw Sarah saw that same beauty or not. But the Bible certainly does say that she was an attractive woman from a physical standpoint. But she was also a good woman in a spiritual sense. And that's the key that we want to look at today. In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6, this doesn't mention Sarah, but what it does say, it says to all of us, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Now remember, this verse paints the picture to me of Sarah's life and her relationship with her husband and with her God. That she learned these things, not to be proud, but to be humble, to humble ourselves before God's mighty hand. She didn't always do it perfectly, and we'll see that as well as we go through this. But we want to consider being submissive like Sarah. So the first thing we want to notice is that being submissive like Sarah means more than just wives submit to your husbands. This seems to be one of the favorite things. Husbands love to pull out that verse. Oh, wives, you've got to submit to your husbands. Let me think about this with you and share this with you. And let's consider one thing about the Scriptures. And I know perhaps we've mentioned this before, but we really need to focus in on this. This is one of the most important things that we can learn about how to understand the Scriptures. The Scriptures do not tell one group of individuals how to make another group of individuals do what the first group wants them to do. So when the Bible speaks to those wives and tells them to be in submission to their husbands, it's not saying, because it never says, "Husbands, you make your wives submit to you." It doesn't say that. On the other side of it, it tells husbands, love your wives. It never tells women, "Women, you make those husbands love you." You see, when the Bible speaks to a group of individuals or to one single individual, as it did in certain cases where Jesus was talking to someone or Paul may have called someone out by name specifically, but anytime the Bible speaks to someone, it's speaking to them. You see, Christianity is about each one of us seeing what the Bible says and doing it. Now, certainly we need to encourage each other. That's what the preacher does, is teach and preach and encourage us to, let's read the Bible and see what it says to us and learn from it. But I can't make any of you do anything. And I'm not even supposed to. I'm supposed to teach and exhort, rebuke, correct the errors when they're there, and teach those things, and teach the right. But I'm not there to make everybody fall in line like a drill sergeant. Paul told Timothy to be an example as the preacher. And even the elders, even though they have actually more authority, and they are in a position where they do have the authority to make some guiding regulations and rules for the congregation, even at that, as an individual, they have no more authority than the average member is going to have. It's only when they work together as the eldership that they have that authority that God has given them. But as we think about this, we notice some things here that everybody likes to point at. Well, you wives, submit to your husband. The question is, okay, are you husbands submitting to Christ? We know Christ is submitting to the Father. The problem is, gentlemen, if we're not submitting to Christ, it's much more difficult for our wives to submit to us. It's much more difficult for them to want to, if they don't see us living as we should. It's a struggle. 1 Peter 3, 5 through 6, Sarah is mentioned. He says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It's interesting that one of the things that happened here in this passage, and again, this is one of only two passages in the New Testament that mentions Sarah by name. Sarah obeyed Abraham. We said, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that a wife is supposed to obey her husband just like a little child has to obey their parents? If he's leading that family in the right way, she should. If he's in subjection to Christ, then being obedient to him is going to have her being obedient to Christ. Now here's the thing we're going to notice. Sarah may have taken it a bit too far. Because we know regardless of what authority relationship people have, no one has the authority to tell you to disobey God's command. Let's notice Genesis 12, verses 11 through 17. When Abraham was about to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a beautiful woman in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they'll kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you and that my life may be spared for your sake. Abraham tells Sarah, I want you to lie for me. Because if you don't, they may kill me. So please, lie for me. Instead of telling everybody you're my wife, say you're my sister. It's interesting how children learn to follow in the footsteps of their parents and commit the same sins. Isaac and Rebekah later on are going to do this very same thing. Isaac's going to tell everybody that Rebekah is his sister. But Sarah did that. She shouldn't have lied. You know, sometimes, well, the Bible doesn't ever say that she was wrong for that. The Bible tells us we need to speak the truth. We don't lie if we're followers of God. She should not have lied. But she was so committed to being submissive to her husband and in subjection to her husband that she was willing to go too far. We do need to realize that when it comes to subjection, when it comes to submission, there are limits. There are limits in the home, there are limits in the church, there are limits in the government. Each of these groups has authority, whether it's the parents, the husband, the elders, the mayor and city council, the governor and legislature, the president and Congress. Each of them has their authority, but that authority is limited by God and they can't go beyond that. All right, we need to move on quickly now into these other things. So he did that and told her to do that. In Genesis 20 and verses 2 through 5, they do the same thing again when they're going into the area of the Philistines. They go to Abimelech, who was king of Gerar. And God was about ready to kill Abimelech. Abimelech was going to take Sarah to be his wife, not knowing that she was already married. And Abimelech begs God, are you going to kill innocent people? I didn't know. I mean, he said, she's my sister. And she said, he's my brother. I was just looking for a wife. I didn't know she was already married. I was innocent here. And so God, of course, recognizing his innocence, does not punish him for that. But we do need to understand that submission, being submissive like Sarah, does mean children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands. Christians, submit to those who have the rule over you, whether it be the elders in the church, whether it be the local secular government, whether it be the national secular, you submit to those people as long as it doesn't contradict God's law to do so. And we've seen an example of where Sarah actually went too far in her submission on this occasion. The second thing we want to notice about being submissive like Sarah is that it means learning from her mistakes. Now certainly there was one that kind of that we looked at already, but here's another in Genesis 16, 1 through 6. Sarah hadn't had any children. We know that story. And she had a female Egyptian servant named Hagar. And so she came out with this great idea. God wants you to have children, Abraham, and I can't have any for you, so here, take my servant here, and you have a child with her. And that way you'll have a child like God wants you to. Now, did they consult God about that? No. They came up with this idea all on their own. This was not God's idea. This wasn't what God wanted to do. This was one example of a time where Sarah was not submissive. And her failure to be submissive in this area has caused turmoil on the planet Earth for 3,000 years. The Palestinian conflict, the Arab-Israeli conflicts and wars and constant troubles in the Middle East come back to Hagar and Sarah's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And the strife between those two women and their two sons, because Sarah thought she knew better than God how to help Abraham get his promise fulfilled. We need to realize when we are not submissive to God, there are consequences. Now, the consequences of your actions may not be quite as impactful as the consequences of Sarah and Abraham's actions here. It may not be that 3,000 years from now, you know, you've got wars caused because of your lack of submission to God. But we need to realize the seriousness of it. And while this is an extreme example, it is an example of how widespread little things can be. When we fail to show submission to those in authority over us, then those who are under our authority learn very quickly, well, I don't have to be in submission to the people who are in authority over me. That becomes a real problem. Parents and children, for governments and their citizens. When citizens see that the government isn't acting as it should, then the citizens start to disregard authority as well. When children see that parents aren't acting as they should, they're not submitting to the authorities as they should, they begin to act any way they want to act, and they rebel against the authority over them. It's a vicious cycle, and it is a problem that has been going on since the beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve disregarding God's authority and eating of that fruit that they were not supposed to. But it was perpetuated here as well. Now obviously none of us are going to be 100% submissive all the time like we should. But like Sarah, we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from other people's mistakes is even better. Isn't it a lot more fun to learn from other people's mistakes than your own? I mean, that's, if you can see what they did and see how foolish they looked and how it hurt them and say, you know, I don't want to do that because I don't want that to happen to me. But sometimes we're pig-headed and we just want to, well, I'll do what I want to do and you can't tell me any differently. And we run right smack into the wall after the other fellow just ran right smack into the wall. And we just think, well, I can get through the wall, I guess. Sometimes I don't know what we're thinking. But we need to understand that we need to learn from her mistakes so that we don't make the same kind of mistakes that she did. We need to learn to be submissive from her. Then we need to learn that being submissive like Sarah will bring blessings from God. The only other time that Sarah is mentioned in the New Testament is in Hebrews chapter 11, Faith's Hall of Fame chapter. The listing of those that made it into the Hall of Fame, and Sarah is listed there, right along with Abraham. Verse 11 says, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. I'd say 90 is past the age, wouldn't you? Any of you want to have a child at 90? That's tough enough to have grandchildren at 90, but to have a child at 90. She was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, understand, she struggled with that, as I imagine anyone in that circumstance would struggle with that. It wasn't that she just didn't believe in God, she did. But the concept, the idea of her having a child was so absurd to her. In Genesis 18, verses 9 through 16, when they came to Abraham, they had talked to Abraham. Now, Abraham laughed about it as well when they told him that him and Sarah were going to have a baby. He thought that was real funny. And they said, well, where's Sarah? And he said, she's in the tent. And so the Lord says, I'll surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. That's pretty amazing. Next year when I come back, Sarah's going to have a boy. Abraham and Sarah were old, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, because she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. And the men set out from there, and they looked down the road toward Sodom. And so then, of course, they do come back, and Genesis 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And he did to Sarah as he had promised, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, as God had spoken to him. And Abraham, of course, called his name Isaac. He circumcised him on the eighth day, as God commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And we know from other places that Sarah was 10 years younger. She was 90. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And aren't we still? When people for the first time really understand this story, they almost do actually laugh out loud to think, this 90-year-old woman had a baby? That is funny. And Sarah said, when everybody hears about this, they are going to laugh with me. They're going to laugh about me having a baby when I'm 90 years old. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I've borne him a son in my old age? She received the blessing from God. When she stopped trying to go through Hagar and try to finagle some other way to do what God had promised He was going to do, and when she finally submitted and accepted that God was going to do what He was going to do, then she received the blessing that He had promised. Now remember, God had promised this back when Abraham was about 75 and Sarah was 65. They gave up when Abraham was about 85 and Sarah was about 75. So 10 years, nothing happened. They gave up. And that's when they did the thing with Hagar so that Abraham could get a child. And so Ishmael was already about 14, 15 years old by the time Isaac comes along. And Isaac's a little baby and Ishmael's 14 or 15 years old. But here's the last thing that we want to notice here. Being submissive like Sarah will help others submit. In the case of Sarah, it actually helped cause a situation where Abraham submitted to her. Now we go, wait a minute, I thought husbands were supposed to submit to their wives. Yeah, but you know, the Bible also says that a man who finds a good wife finds a good thing. And it also says of that wise woman in Proverbs 31 that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. Gentlemen, if you've got a godly wife, there are some times where you need to listen to her and you need to submit to her wisdom. She knows some things about life as a woman that you may not know as a man. And sometimes it takes a good bit of courage and strength to realize, I need to submit to her. And remember again our passage in 1 Peter 5 that we looked at. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. So if someone else has a better way of doing it, has a better idea than our idea, or points out to us how something is right according to the Scriptures, and we've been doing something that's wrong according to the Scriptures, it doesn't matter who that person is. We need to obey and submit to what they tell us to do that's God's way of doing things. It's difficult for us to think about that sometimes. But even us as adults, sometimes little children, they're so innocent and they're so straightforward and too honest sometimes, it seems like, doesn't it? But they will say some things sometimes, and we should heed that. That lack of guile that they have, where they're just honest and straightforward, and they say, well, Mama, Daddy, why are you doing this? Grandma, Grandpa, why don't you do this? Sometimes they're right. And we need not say, oh, well, you're just a little kid. You don't know what you're talking about. They probably don't fully know what they're talking about. But as the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes sometimes. Even those little children sometimes can get it right. A new Christian even sometimes may have some insight into something that someone who's been a Christian for 40 or 50 years has missed. And so we need not just cast somebody off just because of that. But we need to submit to those who are older than us. We need to submit to those who are in authority over us. We need to certainly submit to God. But we need to be subject one to another. And here's the story of how it worked out with Sarah. Genesis 21, verses 9 through 12. Sarah saw Hagar's son laughing and mocking Isaac. As they were having a celebration, Isaac had been weaned, and that was a big deal. And Hagar's son Ishmael was mocking him. He was making fun of Isaac. She didn't like that. And so she talked to Abraham. And she said, you need to throw her and her son out. They're not going to be heirs. Her son's not going to be an heir with my son. Now remember, of course, it was her fault that this son was there in the first place, because it's her idea for Abraham to have Hagar as a mistress. But that displeased Abraham. I mean, that was his son. He didn't want to just throw his son out. But listen to what happens in verse 12. God said to Abraham, now see again here, if they'd have asked God about it back at that Hagar thing the first time around, they wouldn't have been in this situation now. But they didn't listen to God back then. But now they're listening to God, and Sarah says, kick her out. And so Abraham doesn't want to do that. It displeases him, makes him upset. But God said to Abraham, don't be displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, because through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Because she submitted to God, because she submitted to her husband, when it came time, she was rewarded by God telling Abraham to submit to her. That's a difficult concept for us to grasp sometimes. Well, wait a minute, I thought submission, it was always a chain of command up like this. Well, it doesn't work that way with the Lord. Whoever says the right thing, whoever says the thing that's in accord with God's will, is the one who should get their way. Because it's not their way, it's God's way. God had been promising them a son, Sarah and Abraham, not Abraham and Hagar. Now God blessed Ishmael as well, because it was Abraham's son, but that was not the son of the promise. Now what else happened here is Isaac grew up seeing his mother be submissive to his father. And Isaac learned to be submissive to his parents as well. In Genesis 22, 9 and 10, I'm going to paint for you a really odd picture. Imagine a young man about Xander's age. He's about 15. So Isaac was probably in that neighborhood, 13, 14, 15 years old. At the time when we hear the story about Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him. Now, Abraham would have been about 115. Now I want you to think for just a minute about a 14, 15-year-old boy and a 114 or 15-year-old old man. And now let's read that section in Genesis 22 again. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Now, I want us to pay close attention. He made the altar, and then it says he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Now I'm just going to ask you, how many 115-year-old men do you suppose there are that could overpower a 14 or 15-year-old teenager? Or, for that matter, who could even catch him? Isaac apparently willingly submitted to his father tying him up and putting him on that altar, because a teenage boy can outrun a 100-year-old man and could probably outfight him as well. Where did Isaac learn to submit like that? He learned it by watching his father submit to God, but he also learned it from watching his mother submit to his father. It's important. People watch. The old saying is, more is caught than is taught. A lot of times children learn. They don't always learn what we want them to learn. They see. They don't always see what we want them to see. Their eyes catch everything. Their ears catch everything. They learn all sorts of things. Abraham and Sarah taught Isaac how to submit because they submitted. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Have you done that? Have you submitted yourself to God? Have you done it initially by obeying the gospel? Or are you in rebellion against Him saying, no, I don't need to do that. I know better. It's my life. I know what to do with it. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing, you should repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you are a Christian, but perhaps like Sarah, you've made some mistakes in times you should have submitted and didn't. If you have a need to respond, to ask God to forgive you for those times and to determine to do better, whatever your need may be, please come as we stand and sing.